The sermon you are about to listen to is a Stream Globe Word Encounter sermon by Pastor Abraham Damilola Arigi. You can contact us by visiting our website, www.streamglobe.org. Also defined as the power of God at work in the believer, making us do the things of God. Grace is not just a feeling in the heart of God, it's a power at work in the lives of believers. Grace is not just a feeling, because if we only define grace as unmerited favor, that's a feeling. That's a feeling, a beautiful feeling that God has towards us. It's a feeling in the heart of God that is called favor. But grace is not just a feeling in the heart of God. This grace is a power that is at work in the lives of believers. And this power can be multiplied. It can increase. It can be multiplied. And the Bible is saying here that grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's multipliable. The Bible, speaking about Jesus, says he was full of grace and truth. Interestingly, the Bible does not just say grace be multiplied. The Bible says grace and peace. If you study that word peace, the Hebrew word, you know, Hebrews used to greet with the word peace, shalom. Shalom means nothing broken, nothing out of order, all things working perfectly, the favor of God. That was the best of the Hebrew world, shalom. Grace was a way that the Christians, the Greek, greeted themselves. And so when we say grace and peace, we're talking about the best of both worlds. Grace, that power of God, shalom. Yeah, it's a representation of that power. I explained in some devotionals ago, I think 4 days ago or so, that the peace of God is a tangible force that follows the believer. Jesus Christ told his apostles that if you go and preach in a place and you find a house that is worthy, your peace can rest upon that house. But if you do not find a house that is worthy to host you, then your peace will come back to you. So if you find a house, as well, you say, peace be upon this house. It's a spiritual substance. And that substance makes for protection, it makes for prosperity, and it makes for power. You know, he told the Jews, he said, it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. That is the shalom of God. And this power is multiplied to us through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, how is this possible? Now, I just talked about the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit and the Word works together. As you know the Word of God, as the words of Christ dwell in you richly, as the Holy Spirit expands the Word of God to you, you are transformed more into the nature of God. The Word of God and the Spirit of God are God's tool of change in the believer. As you, like what you are doing now, you are listening to the Word of God, and as the Spirit of God is breathing upon that Word, and you are understanding the mind and counsel of God more, what's happening to you is that it is changing you from within. And as this change is happening, you will discover that it is so easy for you to connect with God. It is easier for you to connect with God, to hear his voice, and to fellowship with God. Now, I want to just read on, because this is a very beautiful reading. It says that through these things, I'm reading 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, verse 4. Through these things, he has bestowed upon us his precious and most magnificent promises, so that by means of what was promised, you may become partakers of the divine nature, after escaping the corruption that is in the world through lust, as my translation says, produced by evil desires. There is a corruption, a decay that is in the world. Things are not getting better. And this corruption is in the world. It is sponsored by evil desires or by lust. Now, after we have escaped this corruption because of the knowledge of God, we are to use the promises of God to appropriate our divine nature. The promises of God are the vehicle through which we connect to the bounties of God. Please, if you don't remember anything, please remember this. The promises of God are the vehicle through which we connect to the bounties of God. The promises of God are the vehicle. They are the connection point through which we receive the bounties of God. So, well, I have an assignment for you. Please learn more promises of God concerning you this year. The promises of God, the Bible says, in Christ Jesus, they are yea. All of God's promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Unfortunately, Christians don't know enough of the promises of God. Do you know that God has promises concerning your health? I'm sure you know that. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. God has promises concerning how that you are not even supposed to be falling sick. God has promises concerning your finances. God has promises concerning your promotion. God has promises concerning your well-being, your peace and joy. And as you know these promises, you use them to connect with the bounties of God. It is important that you know the promises of God. That's why Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says that it is when you know the word of God. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate upon it day and night. He say, and thou shalt make thy ways prosperous. It is through the promises of God that we tap into the prosperity of God. And that's why the Jew understands that this, and so the word of God does not depart from their mouth. That they are always reciting it, they are always meditating on it, so that they know the promises and they can connect with the blessings of God. Now, what the Jews operated was inferior to what we have in Christ. The Bible talks about better promises, better covenants with better promises. That is what we have. So it's important that you know these promises of God. That is one of the things we do when we study the Bible. We look out for the promises of God and we receive the promises of God and appropriate them. We make them our own. And through them, we connect with our blessings. We connect with the divine nature. Let me tell you something. The anointing, for example, is a promise. There are many people that say, ah, Pastor Abraham, you are anointed. Yes, I am anointed. I don't doubt it. People get healed when I pray. Demons come out when I cast them out of people. But you know what? That promise of anointing is for everybody. It's not only for Pastor Abraham. It's for you and it's for me. But you must know that promise and you must appropriate it. Thou anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness. Is that not a promise? Is it not for you? The Bible says in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? If the answer is yes, then the Bible says all of God's promises are yea and amen. So there's a promise concerning the anointing. You find it and you appropriate it. There's a promise concerning your finances. You find it and you appropriate it. Many believers don't know those promises. And they don't appropriate it. They don't walk in it. Whereas the Bible says that it is according to these promises that we are partakers. Let me read that again. Verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4. It says, through these things he has bestowed on us his precious and most magnificent promises, so that by means of what was promised, how? By means of what was promised, you may become partakers of the divine nature. How do you become a partaker of the divine nature? It is by means of the promises. How can you use promises that you do not know? And that's one of the reasons why we say, okay, read the Bible from cover to cover. We have a good Bible reading plan in Stream Globe. If you listen to Stream Globe devotional every day on Telegram, you will go through the Bible from cover to cover. All of the promises of God are contained in the scriptures. And then you pick them and recite them and make them your own and connect with a divine nature. That divine nature that makes a man to walk in the anointing is a function of a promise. That divine nature that makes a man to walk in divine health is a function of the promise. That divine nature that makes for prosperity is a function of the promise. You find the promises and you appropriate them. May God give us grace this year to settle down and learn his promises and walk in these promises. All right, let's read on. For this very reason, now we are going a little deeper. we are going a little deeper. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith excellence, to excellence knowledge. Make, for what reason? The reason we've just talked about. The promises of God, you want to connect with the promises of God. If you want to connect with the promise of God, you have to make every effort to add to your faith. Giving all diligence, add to your faith. King James calls it virtue. My favorite translation, New English Translation, calls it excellence. And then add to excellence, knowledge. Add to excellence, knowledge. Now, the reason why you will be able to know the promises of God and rightly appropriate them is because of the spirit of excellence. And this spirit of excellence is what facilitates knowledge. Knowledge of these promises. So you say, add to your faith. So you believe, you know that God can do all things. Don't stop there. Don't stop there. Don't stop there. Be diligent. Add excellence to your faith. And use excellence to add knowledge. Knowledge of God's promises. Knowledge of His ways. Knowledge of His mind. Knowledge of His will. Add knowledge. Add knowledge. Now, this is a very, very important point, because I've seen many believers, and really, I won't lie to you, when I meet people like that, I wonder if they are really believers. I've seen many believers that are not interested in adding anything. They are not adding excellence. They are not interested in knowledge. In fact, they despise the notion of knowledge. I've seen believers like that, and I really, really wonder that what exactly is going on with this person. You say, it's not about all this knowledge, knowledge, knowledge. Then what is it about? Is it about ignorance? So add to your faith excellence and what? Knowledge. Knowledge. Foolishness is not a virtue. Ignorance is not good. Now, to knowledge, self-control. I don't think I'll be able to teach you on this today. Because you see that thing called anger. The Bible says, anger lieth in the bosom of fools. You see, the less you know, the more you'll be easily aggravated. The more you'll be easily angry. The more you'll be easily, you will not be able to bridle yourself because you are not a knowledgeable person. Have you been to a civilized society? What makes a society civilized? The people there are very knowledgeable. They know a lot of things. They are educated. Have you noticed that they have more self-control in such societies than in a non-civilized society? You go to a civilized society, everybody waits their turn. Everybody drives like a sensible person because they are knowledgeable people. What made for this? What made for the self-control that you see that defines a civilized society? It's knowledge. And so it says, add to your knowledge self-control. Add to your knowledge self-control. So knowledge actually produces self-control. Excellence produces diligence. Knowledge. Remember, it says, add to your faith excellence. Excellence. Add to excellence knowledge. And add to what? Knowledge, self-control. That's how it works. So knowledge produces self-control. That's why civilized people are generally more controlled, more tempered, more measured than non-civilized people. It's about knowledge. Uncivilized people are empty-headed. They don't know anything. They don't understand anything. And so they are just always easily aggravated. They can't really settle down and be productive. Now, the next thing he says we should add to self-control is perseverance. Perseverance or patience. And to perseverance, godliness. Before you get to that virtue called godliness, you must understand patience. You must understand self-control, and you must have the knowledge of God. And godliness is key. Godliness is key. Godliness, that's the nature of God. When you find that a person is godly, you find that he is able to manifest a lot of the attributes of God, including the power and the glory. It says, unto godliness, brotherly affection. This is very important among Christians. We must be deliberate and intentional about showing ourselves love and affection as Christian brothers. It's very, very important, because when we do this, we are rightly discerning the body of Christ, and there are blessings for that. It says, to brotherly affection, unselfish love. To brotherly affection, unselfish love. Now, I will just ask a simple question. What is the difference between affection and love? What is the difference? See, you don't necessarily have to show affection when you love. That's why we are told here to add affection and then unselfish love. For example, I don't think it's possible for you to show this, to have this affection for your enemies. But we are commanded to love our enemies. Because your enemies are not your brothers. I mean, by definition. Even if somebody who was supposed to be your brother becomes an enemy, by being an enemy, he has unbrothered himself. So, we are not instructed to have brotherly affection for our enemies. So, you're not supposed to have that feeling of comfort, that feeling of love, you know, that feeling of affection for your enemies. But love is action, actually. When God says love your enemies, it's not about faith that, oh, I love you, my enemy. No. It's that when your enemy is hungry, you give them food. When they are thirsty, you give them water. When they are in need, you help them. Love is about what you do to help people. You treat people the way you want to be treated. And if you treat people the way you want to be treated, you will treat your enemies the way you want to be treated. Because you too, you are also, some people also consider you to be their enemies, you know. So, as you treat people the way you want to be treated, that's a functional definition of love. You treat people properly. But it doesn't necessarily mean you have to show affection to them. The people we show affection to our brothers, but it's important that we show affection. People must feel comforted. They must feel wanted when they deal with us. Your Christian brethren must, if a Christian comes around you, he must feel that he's wanted in your presence. It's very, very, remember, these are some of the virtues that we add that make us to live productive and fruitful lives as Christians. Let Christians around you feel loved. Welcome them with a smile. Welcome them with a hug. In fact, Paul wrote many of the letters that Paul wrote, he will end it with greet each other with a holy kiss. That was their culture there. Because this brotherly affection is a very important aspect of our lives as Christians. Remember I said that it's one of the very effective ways we rightly discern the body of Christ. You meet people who are not even your race, but because they are Christians, you show them the highest level of affection. You are rightly discerning the body of Christ. And that's how it's supposed to be. Now it says, and to this brotherly affection, unselfish love. Let me use another word, selfless love. Selfless love. You know, many times when parents make very, very, very huge sacrifices for their children, sometimes the children are even misbehaving. They are not necessarily feeling the affection, but the love is in their hearts. And one of the languages of love is sacrifice. One of the languages of love is sacrifice. And the Bible says that we should add to this brotherly affection. So let it not just end with, oh, Pele, sorry, wow. You know, welcome with a smile, greet with a smile. Let it not just end there. Make the sacrifice of love. Love is sacrificial. You have 2,000 naira, your brother has nothing. 2,000 naira is only enough to take you for 2 days. And you are willing to divide that 2,000 naira into two and give half to your brother. That is unselfish love. That is unselfish love. And as you add to this thing, to your brotherly affection, unselfish love, see what the Bible says. It says, for if these things are really yours and are continually increasing, what are these things? We just mentioned them. We talked about adding to your faith, excellence, adding to excellence. It's excellence that makes you to have knowledge. Then knowledge makes you to be a self controlled person, as we see in civilized societies. Self control, we've looked at all of that. Patience or perseverance, godliness. You cannot talk about godliness if you are not patient. And then brotherly affection, and then to brotherly affection, unselfish love. You see, for if these things are really yours and are continually increasing, they will keep you from becoming ineffective and unproductive in your pursuit of knowing our Lord Jesus Christ more intimately. Now, this is a very powerful point, because there are too many people today that are unproductive and ineffective in their knowledge of God. They are believers, but there is absolutely nothing to show for it. they are as defeated as the unbeliever next door. The divorce rate is the same as that as of unbelievers. They are sickly, if not even more sickly than some unbelievers. They are as unhappy, as depressed as unbelievers. That is not supposed to be the case. You want your knowledge of God to be effective and to be productive. You must continually add these virtues. Remember, you add to your faith excellence, knowledge, self-control. You add all of these things we are talking about. And by virtue of this, you will discover that you are able to appropriate the promises of God. You are able to walk in the divine nature. Remember, it says, because of this, what? These promises, the possibility of walking in the divine nature through these promises, add these virtues. Because the promises of God work in an environment. It's just like you cannot plant corn. You cannot plant corn inside a place that is always, they're always making fire there, you know, where they make firewood, and expect the corn to grow. That's not the environment where corn grows. You cannot plant corn in a desert and expect it to grow. There is no water. Environment, there is an environment that makes for the word of God. That's because the word of God is actually a seed. And when it begins to manifest in your life, it's because it is growing. These promises of God that makes you to connect with the divine nature, there is an environment in which it works. So, of course, you must know the promises. We've talked about that. But after knowing the promises, you must create the environment in which this promise will work. There are many people that quote the promises of God and it's not working in their lives because their hearts are too toxic for it to work. And how do you create that environment? You add these virtues. Add to your faith excellence. Excellence is what will make you to go for the word of God diligently and know the promises of God and know the mind of God and know the will of God. And then you add to this self-control. Self-control. It's very important. A believer that doesn't have self-control will always be falling into immorality and things like that. A believer that doesn't have self-control will always be getting angry. Anger lies in the bosom of fools. And by the grace of God, we are not foolish people. We are very wise people. We are not unwise, but we are wise, knowing the will of God. And so, as you add these virtues and you are deliberate and intentional about this, you will find that your life is conducive for the manifestation of the promises of God. So it's important that you know the promises, and it's also very important that you create an atmosphere, an environment in your life for the promises of God to find fruition. Just like no matter how fertile a seed is, no matter how good a seed is, if you put that, plant that seed in the wrong environment, in a toxic environment, it will not grow. How do you remove the toxins from your life? Be deliberate and intentional about adding these virtues. You say, if these things be in you, if these things are really yours and are continually increasing, they will keep you from becoming ineffective and unproductive in your pursuit of the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. More intimately, there are many people that want to know God. They want the grace of God to be multiplied in their lives, but it's not happening. You know why? These virtues are not in their lives, and they are not deliberate about it. God is going to help us. You know, this thing called excellence, King James calls it virtue, it's goodness. You must be deliberate about being a good person. Be kind to the people you deal with. Welcome your brethren with a smile. Treat people well. It's important. It's very important. In fact, that's the next thing he says you add to your faith. And as you do these things, you will just discover that your life is conducive for the manifestation of the promises of God. Now, let's read verse 9 and we'll close on that note. It says, but concerning the one who lacks these things, concerning the one who lacks such things, what are those such things? You know, faith, patience, excellence, knowledge, self-control, godliness, all of that. Those concerning the one who lacks such things, he is blind. That is to say, he is nearsighted, since he has forgotten about the cleansing of his past sins. When you find believers that are blind, these are believers that are not trying to add these virtues. They are not trying to improve. They are forgotten. They are forgotten that they were cleansed from somewhere and they are going somewhere. Therefore, brothers and sisters, I'm reading verse 10. Make every effort to be sure of your calling and election. For by doing this, you will never stumble. For by doing this, you will never stumble into sin. This is very powerful. As you are striving to add virtues to be more godly, you will just discover that the matter of sin will be a forgotten matter. Many believers spend all their time fighting sin. Hey, I don't want to fall into this sin, this besetting sin. You know the way to escape that? Forget about that sin for once, and instead be striving towards adding these virtues we've talked about. Brotherly kindness, brotherly love. Treat Christians properly. Be good. You know, being good is something that we can be. We have the ability to be good because we have the Spirit of God. You know, I remember watching a movie and there was this spoiled child, and then some very important visitors were coming, and the mother wanted her to not embarrass them because this child can shout on anybody and, you know, throw tantrums. And the mother promised to give her money if she is good. The mother said, "Be good." And because the mother promised her money, she was so kind, she was so nice, she was so loving when the visitors were around. She was behaving like a very good girl. And remembering that movie, I see that we can be good. We know how to be good. When you want a favor from somebody, you know the way you greet them warmly, you are nice, you are kind. You talk softly because you want a favor. You know what? The fact that you can do that means you know what it means to be good. Can't you just make that your character all the time? Because that's what Jesus says. Add to your faith virtue. That's what the Bible calls excellence, an excellent spirit. You behave well at all times, not just when you want to curry a favor. You treat people well. You talk nicely. You know, there are some times that, let's say you are so hurt, maybe you were disappointed, you were expecting something, it didn't come, and you just want to take it out on everybody around you. No, no, no. Remember, be good. Remember what the Bible says. Say, if these things be in you, then your knowledge of God will be productive. I am tired of seeing believers whose knowledge of God is not productive. I want, not just me, but everybody, every believer around me, to be as productive as they can be in their knowledge of God. Things are working in their lives. They have a beautiful life. Everything around them is working according to God's plan. Why? Because they are deliberate about adding these virtues. They are good. They are kind. They go for knowledge. So I want to encourage us. Don't just be good and kind when you meet a person and you are trying to create a good first impression. Don't just be good and kind when you want a favor. Be good and kind at all times. That is the spirit of excellence. And that spirit of excellence will help you to also know what you need to know. Let us pray. Let's thank God for this opportunity. I am very grateful for the ability to be able to do this. It's the Lord that has made it possible. Let's thank God for the ability to know Him. He's a faithful Father. Let's pray that God will help us, that this year His grace and peace upon us will be multiplied. We will manifest the attributes of Christ more and more. We'll be like Him in every way. In the name of Jesus. The strength of God will fill our hearts and our souls in the name of Jesus. Let us ask that God will give us the strength to add to our faith virtue, and to add to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control. And we'll add all of these virtues. We'll keep adding. And let us pray that, Lord, this year my knowledge of you will be fruitful. My knowledge of you will be productive. There will be a difference between me and the unbelievers around me because I know you. Use my life to advertise yourself. Use my life to advertise your glory, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise. Thank you, Father. For the Lord wants to help somebody. The help of the Lord is near. Is near. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From where cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord, which made the heavens and the earth. Receive help now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be your name. Father, we bless you for this studio broadcast. Thank you for those that joined in. Thank you because you have done beyond what we could have asked or imagined through your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask that the next broadcast shall be more powerful. The next broadcast shall be better in every way. We ask, Lord, that your seed, the seed of your word that has been sown, will germinate, it will grow, and it will bring forth great fruits. Thank you, Father, for hearing us. Thank you for what you have done. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Have a beautiful and fruitful day. In Jesus' name. By ending the broadcast now, the audios will be made available sometime in the future for you to download and listen to again. You can learn more about this ministry by visiting www.streamglobe.org. God bless you.